Kaf Dalet Amid Beis, about 10 lines up from the bottom, where the Gemara asks Meisvei. So we just had a machlokas between Rav and Levi about what is the halacha, what did Rabbi Gamliel mean in the Mishnah when the Mishnah tells the story that a non-Jew brought a fish to Rabbi Gamliel, and Gamliel said, it's mutter, but I don't want to accept it. Why doesn't he want to accept it? We saw Rashi yesterday who said he didn't have such a great relationship with him, and we dealt with the issue of why didn't the Rashi say, generally, Soni Matanas Yichya. But either way, Me'ikra did, it was mutter. So what was it mutter for? So Rav says that it was mutter l'kabel. It was mutter to take, not to eat it, but he could accept it, meaning it wasn't muksa. While Levi said, no, it's even mutter to eat. And then Rav got upset that Levi didn't come to the second shir in the morning, and he missed the chazara of Rebbe, and he didn't know that he was hadar. And that's why he was upset, and we learned from there that a person should realize that every moment of the Beis Medrash is valuable, both for halacha lamaisa purposes, like the story in the Gemara, and of course for Torah lishma purposes that applies in general. But now we ask Meisvei, ask the Gemara. Meisvei, Nachri Shevi Doron LiYisrael, a non-Jew who brings a present to a Jew. Afilu Dogim HaMifulamim, even moist, fresh fish that clearly were caught today. You could tell. Uperos B'nei Yoman, and fruits that B'nei Yoman means they were picked today. Mutarin. So the Brisa says that even items that clearly the malacha was done today, you're allowed to keep. So bishlama lamandamar mutarin lekabel shapir. According to the one who says mutar means that you're allowed to take it, it's not muksa, but not that you're allowed to eat it, then you understand this. Because after all, why should you be able to eat fruit or fish or anything that malacha was done that day? Elamanda amar mutarin ba'achila, peres b'nei yoman misharu ba'achila. But if you say it's even mutar to eat, what could fruit that were picked today be eaten today? No, they were muksa. They were not roy. They were attached. They were mechubar when Shabbos started. Why would that be mutter? Well, this says the Gemara back. Ula taimech. But what do you mean? I'll have a. What about the other way? Peros b'nei yoman mishari b'tiltel. So you're saying, okay. So you can't. We understand that you can't eat it as long as you can only move it. Well, you shouldn't be able to move it either. It's muksa. Ella, what must you say? The Brisa does not really mean items that the malacha was done today. It's just items that look like the malacha was done today. Ella bekavri da'adimi. We're talking about fish that have been reddened. Rashi says, adumim, uperei dekevishi biyarkas kinan, or fruit that were clothed and put into greens, meaning fruit that was surrounded by vegetables, that somehow kept the freshness of the fruit. Meaning in both cases, the case that we're talking about in the Brisa is that really it's not from today, the fish or the fruit, but it just looks like it was from today. V'yamai karu le b'nei yoman, and why are they called b'nei yoman? Shein ke'ein b'nei yoman. They look like they were from today. So in that case, the havamina is that you might think that mishum maris ayin, it should be aser. Kamashmalan, we don't say that. Kamashmalan, if it's really not from today, we don't have to be worried about maris ayin. Good. Amar Papa. Hilchos Papa sums up the halacha in this regard. We already said three times yesterday that halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel, but now Rav Papa sums it up. Hilchos Nachri Shevi Doron LiYisrael B'Yom Tov. If a non-Jew brings a present to a Jew on Yantif, meaning a fruit, Im Yesh Me'oso Hamin B'Mechubar, if that type of fruit grows in the vicinity, in the area, so there's a good chance that the non-Jew picked it today, so Aser. That's what we said yesterday. Even Safek Muchan, right, is Aser. And we gave the Svaras yesterday, even though that's only a Safek Durabanan, but, right, maybe Muksa is treated like a Daraisa, maybe it's a Davar Sheish Lamatirin, maybe it's a Xera Mishum and it's a Daraisa. So whatever the Svara is, that's what we posit. If there is Me'oso Min B'Mechubar, it's Aser. And Rashi adds, even L'Rebbe Shimon. Even the Reb Shimon, who we paskin like that, holds the lesser muksas. Rashi says in the second wide line, "V'yafilu l'Reb Shimon, yesh muksa b'grogeres v'tzimukim." There is muksa by grogeres and tzimukim. Those are fruits that are put on the roof that are drying out. That's what's called in the Gemara and Shabbos makse b'yadayim. That is an active designation that I don't plan on using this on Shabbos and Yantif. And Reb Shimon is modeh by d'chia b'yadayim. U'mechubar k'grogeres v'tzimukim dami. And mechubar is connected to, is similar to Grogris Vitzimukim, and therefore Rabbi Shimon would agree that that is a problem. If you look at the Pnei Yeshua just adds on to Rashi. Rashi just says Rabbi Shimon would agree in this case. But says the Pnei Yeshua, it's not so simple. Because if you look in the Gemara there, there seems to be two elements that Rabbi Shimon requires in order to agree to the Muksa of Dachya B'Yadayim. It has to be, let's read it from the beginning. El Dika Lameidak, Tar Rashi Gufa, Befarsh Barakira, Bahad Amar Rebbe, A Muksa Rabbi Shimon, El Grogos, Visimukim Bilvad, Hainam Bisham Dika Tarti, Dachinu B'Yadayim, Vilo Chazi. Number one, it's inedible as is. When I, the process of drying raisins, drying grapes in those days, well, you put the grapes on the roof, and now they're edible, they're grapes. As they start drying, they become putrid and disgusting. And so they're inedible until they become totally dried out and they become raisins. So in that case, Rashi says there in Shabbos, you need really two elements for Rabbi Shimon to agree to this muksa. Number one, that I actively did something. I put it up there. And number two, it's inedible as is. You need both. So El Al Karcha, Rabbi Shimon Tarti Boy, Velachor, and therefore here, but what are the two? The Naju brings me the fruit on Yantif. So what are the two dachim yadayim? So it's attached to the ground. So that's only one. It's not roy. It's inedible right now because it's attached. Right? It's muksa machmas isser or whatever it is. But I didn't do anything actively. So how could Rashi say that this case of mechubar is similar to grogris and simukim at the Pnei Yeshua? Here you only have one element, l're'usa. Not two elements, l're'usa, as Rashi seems to say there in Shabbos. So, says the Pnei Yeshua, there must be another element here. Vanir lini is daiti, bazeh, you know why Reb Shimon agrees here? Not because it's similar to grogris and simukim. Or maybe this is what Rashi means. And that is, it loses its shame pri. It's not called a fruit yet. So it's like what we said, that Rav Shimon agrees by nolad gamur, by something that totally didn't exist, and now it exists. So then Rav Shimon agrees to that. That's what's going on here. Kol peros b'mechubarim, ein shame ochel aleihem. It's not called a fruit yet. Where do you see such a thing? Where do you see that something that is attached is not called a shame ochel yet? Kedash kachan de ein makablin tumas ochlin velo hechsher meaytai magufa. Remember the halacha for Baisha Shmini: a fruit or a vegetable have to become wet in order for it to be mukshar lekabel tuma. But 1 minute, everything becomes wet. Doesn't it rain? The answer is no. Rain doesn't count while it's still mechubar. It's only once it's detached to the ground. That's the rule in Maseches Machshirin. Right? It has to be detached and then become wet. Why? What's the svara for hechsher lekabel tuma? So if you look in Rashi, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, I think it's Mitzvah Kuf Samach, on Parsha Shmini, they say, because it doesn't have a shame ochel, until it first is detached, and then begets wet. So the Pnei Yeshua says, if it doesn't have a shame ochel for Tumah, it also does not have a shame ochel for Shabbos. So that's considered nolad gamur. And we find many times in Masechah Shabbos, says the Pnei Yeshua, that we compare the different areas of halacha. So maybe that's what Rashi means, or I'm giving a different shot than Rashi. Again, Rashi comparing, saying, why does Rav Shimon agree here? Because mechubar is similar to grogris and simukim, the drying out fruits. So either this is a different shot, or this is what Rashi means. It's similar in that it doesn't have a shame ochel. And maybe when the fruit becomes putrid, and you're doche biyadayim, that's also considered losing its shame ochel. Okay. Either way, that is the first line of Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says the halacha is, if a non-Jew does a malacha for a Jew on Yantif, it's aser, even if there's a chance that it was done. Im yesh me oso min b'mechubar aser. Again, ula erev nami, and even that night, when am I allowed to enjoy this fruit? Ula erev nami asurin b'chdei sheya asu. Also that night, I have to wait until the time that the malacha, I could have done the malacha. B'chdei she'yasu, as it's called, as we know. B'chdei that a malacha could have been done. Two very important issues here. Number one is a local issue. Number two is a general issue. First, let's do the local issue. And that is, what does it mean in this context, b'chdei she'yasu? That night, Rashi says, right, Rashi lived in France. Does it mean that night, Yantav Sheni? What if a non-Jew brings me fruit on Yantav Rishon? Does it mean b'chdei she'yasu into Yantav Sheni? Or does it mean b'chdei she'yasu after Yantav Sheni tomorrow night? Which is B'chdei She'yasu?
So Rashi himself holds, I think it's that night because of the Mimonoshach, right? Shtei Kedushos, and one of these days is Chol. And if you want to say that the second day is Yatif, so then the non-Jew picked it on weekday. And if the first day was Yatif, so the second night is Chol, so I waited, Bechdei Sheyasu. So Rashi says, I think Bechdei Sheyasu is literal. And also, says Rashi, the Gemara would have explicated it. It says, Ula Erev Nami, that night, Bechdei Sheyasu. But Rashi says, my Rebbeim have said otherwise. This is one of the most historical Rashis we have in all of Shas. He quotes more Rebbeim in this Rashi than he does. I don't know of any other Rashi. Maybe there's some others. But Rashi here quotes a couple of his Rebbeim. He quotes his own Shita, the bottom Rashi. He says first, I think it's even L'Erev Rishonami. Avagav Delel Yontav Sheni, who mopped in Bechle Shiasu Mutarin. He says, no, Mimanav Shach. Imalai L'Chol, or him to Bechle Shiasu, Mimkot Bechulu. Bechain Daitino Tev Yeshli Rayos Harbe. And I have a lot of rayas. But then he says, V'lo zachisi l'sholas pi Rabbi Yaakov v'davar zeh. I never got to ask my Rabbi Rabbi Yaakov. I never got because I was knowing Heter. I thought it was a never pashut. I didn't know there was anything to talk about. But after Rabbi Yaakov died, I heard from Rabbi Yitzchak HaLevi that he asered until the following night. And the halachas gedolos, the Bahag asered. V'danti l'fanav, v'lo ho'eli adavar. I tried to convince him, but he wouldn't be convinced. It's amazing. He didn't listen to Rashi. Rashi's Rebbe didn't agree with him. And v'chol taimo, and the whole reason that they aser until the following night is eino ela mi denakad bechdei sheyasu bilayla haru'uya la'asiya ka'amar. They need, literally, that I could do the malacha. I can't do the malacha on Yantav Sheni. But Rashi says, I disagree with that interpretation. V'ani omer tzorach lahamtin bechdei sheyasu mishum shema hayom hayakodesh v'alayla chol. So I think that's wrong. I think it's just that night. And then he quotes, Ubetshuvas Rabbeinu Gershim Ma'or Hagola Matzasi Kamosi. I found in the Tshuva of Rabbeinu Gershim, which is Rashi's Rebbeim's Rebbe, I found like me, and also a letter came from Vermeisa that an Adam Gadol went there, and there was a Zakin that came from Rome, and his name was Rabbi Klonimus, and he was a Bucky in all of Shas. Pretty amazing. If Rashi says he was a Bucky B'chol HaShas, that's a compliment. That's like Bill Gates saying, yeah, he's a rich guy. You know, if Rashi says he was a Baki B'chol HaShas, he must have been something, this Rabbi Klonimus. And Vahora came in Echlek Alem, and he also agreed with me. Either way, this was Rashi holding that it should be that first night. That first night is already mutter. Tosfos discusses this Rashi also, and he argues, and he assumes that no, it has to be B'chol HaShas afterwards. Okay, either way, that's the local issue. Which Lila is it talking about? The other issue is the general shear of Bechdei Sheyasu, which we're familiar with, there's an important ha'ara that we're not always focused on, and that is, we know there's a general issue of Maisa Shabbos, that if a malachi is done on Shabbos, there are different rules and regulations. Can I get benefit? Was it a Jew? Was it a non-Jew? Was it Mazin? Was it Shogeg? Right, all different rules and regulations. You want to look at a summary of these laws? The Shmir Shabbos in the Mavo to the Madura Chadasha of the Shmir Shabbos, where he has the Mavo in the beginning. So there, in Siman Lamed Daled, he has all of these rules and regulations. And he quotes in the first sif, he says, "Ha'oseh b'Shabbos malacha she'isur min haTorah." If somebody does an Isidar Aisa on Shabbos or Yantif, im asa b'shogeg, if it was done b'shogeg, aser lo. Let's say somebody did a malacha, they forgot it was Shabbos. So, aser lo ulochal adam lehanas mana b'Shabbos. It's aser for anybody to get benefit on Shabbos. Why? Because if somebody benefits on Shabbos, then maybe next time they won't just do a shogeg. They'll see that the malach, hey, this is great. They can benefit on Shabbos. So you can't get benefit on Shabbos. Ava la'achar Shabbos, mutter lehanas b'mana, af la'osem melacha, miyadim seis ha'Shabbos. But if somebody does a malacha on Shabbos b'shogeg, you can benefit from it right after Shabbos. Right after Shabbos. If he did it b'mezid, so then, asur l'chol adam b'Shabbos, la'avar yin atzmo, u'l'chol b'nei mishpachto, u'l'chol smuchan al shulchano, and for the person who did it, and for anyone related to him, then it's asur forever. Then it's asur forever. For other people, it's mutter after Shabbos. It's mutter after Shabbos right away. Where's Bechdei Sheyasu? Where's that lashon that we're familiar with, Bechdei Sheyasu? That lashon of Bechdei Sheyasu is only when a non-Jew does it, not when a Jew does it. The whole shaila of the whole issue of Bechdei Sheyasu, he points out here in the footnotes. Da'anan naktinan katam she'o. I didn't even say this. Katam shel Tosfos. Right? Rashi said it's mutter right away, bechdei sheyasu. Why? Because theoretically, it could be done, right? If it wasn't yatif, one of the days, mimanav shach, one of the days is weekday. Tosfos says, no, the issue is maybe the goy is going to come to do it for you if you don't wait bechdei sheyasu. And that would apply even on Yantav Sheni. So the Shmir Shabbos says, we hold like that second day of Tosfos, Ramachmir. Delo katsina bechdei sheyasu el b'maisa nachri. Umishum dechayshina shema yomer lo lechadchila lasos. The tamzeh shayach dafka benachri. Avo Yehudi harei lo yishmalo. And therefore the whole concept of bechdei sheyasu is only by a non-Jews doing malacha. Like sometimes in certain neighborhoods, there's a kosher restaurant that's owned by a non-Jew. That's open on Shabbos. Could be open on Shabbos if it's owned by a non-Jew. Let's say, are you allowed to go to that restaurant the second after Shabbos? Let's say a donut place. Right? So if you know they make extra donuts on Shabbos for the Jews who are going to come on Motzi Shabbos, one is not allowed to go there the second after Shabbos. You have to wait Bechdei Sheyasu. Right? But by the time you make Avdallah and you get there, it's probably Bechdei Sheyasu anyway. But either way, that's where it might come up by Bechdei Sheyasu. That shear, Bechdei Sheyasu, is specific to non-Jews malacha for a Jew because of what Tosfos here says. Tosfos argues on Rashi. He says you gotta wait till the second night. Why? Because the issue is that a guy might come to do malacha for a Jew on Shabbat. There are other nafkaminas. The Rashi here quotes the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos and quotes other nafkaminas, between them. And we are machmer for those nafkaminas. Okay. Let's continue. Says the Gemara. Ulav Rabbi Asur Bechlei Sheyasu. Vim ein me oso hamin bimachubar. And if there is no fruit that in the vicinity that is attached, me oso hamin, so then there's no issue of thinking that it was attached before Shabbos. This was obviously a cut from before Shabbos. So, tocha tchum mutters. Then the only issue is tchum. The issue isn't one of muksa, and therefore, if it was brought from within the tchum, it's mutter, and chusla tchum asar, and if it was brought from outside the tchum, it would be asar. What's the issue of its being brought from outside the tchum? What's the issue? Again, there's no issue of it's being detached because you know it was detached before Yantif. What's the issue of being from outside the Tchum? So Rashi says, Lo Shamati Tam Kuba Vadavar. Interesting, right after the other previous Rashi where he says, this is what I thought, this is what my Rebbeim thought. Now he says, I never heard of a reason. Lo Masazi, Lo Mashai Tam Kuba Vadavar. Because if it's an issue of Muksa, why? I'm sorry, let's read the next line of the Gemara first. I jumped the gun. Vihava Vahaba Bishvil Yisrael Zeh, if it was brought for a Jew, from outside the Tchum, mutter l'Yisrael acher. It's mutter for a different Jew. It's only usher for the Jew that it was brought for, if it was brought from outside the Tchum. So now back to the Rashi. Rashi says, I don't understand what the issue is from being brought from outside the Tchum. If it's a muksa issue, so it should be usher to all Jews. And if it's a na'aso bo iser bishvilo issue, it should be usher to other Jews as well. So I'm not sure what the issue is. So Rashi says, Yesh lomar. So it's a Tosfos type of Rashi. The Yesh Lomar, since the Isser of Tchumen is Dirabanan, so we're not so Machmir. And therefore, it's enough if we Aser it on the Jew who is done for himself and let other Jews benefit from it. Again, Rashi here is taking a stand on the issue of Tchumen, saying that Tchumen is Dirabanan. There is, as we know, a major Machlokas Rishonim about this issue. Everybody agrees that 2,000 amos is Durabanan, outside the city. But what about Yud Beis Mil? What about more than that? So that is a machlokas Rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban and others. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch holds like the Rambam. Right? The Rambam holds that the Isser of Yud Beis Mil is an Isser D'Oraisa. Only the smaller area of 2,000 amos is Durabanan, but 24,000 amos, Yud Beis Mil, is Da'oraisa. That's what he counted, Mitzvah Chav Dalet, in the Sefer HaChinuch, the only Mitzvah in Parshas B'Shalach, Shenimnanu Shlo Leleches B'Shabes Chutz L'Gvulim Yiduim, Shenemar Al Yetzei Ish B'Mkomo B'Yom HaShavi'i. And that is, he says, more than 3 parsos, and a parsa is 4 mil, and a mil is 2,000 amos, so do the math, 24,000 amos, and you measure from the outside of the city, that is an Isser D'Oraisa of Tchumen. And the Chachamim, Gadru Geder, V'asru Shalom Lelech Yosher Me'apayim Amma, Michutz La'ir. That is the Shita of the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Ramban argues, the Ramban says, no, all Tchumen is the Rabbanan. This is summarized in the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Tchumen in Simin Shin Sadi Zayin, where the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kaladam yesh lo alpayim amal chol ruach." Everybody has 2,000 amos. Out chutz mi arba amosav, besides the 4 amos that he is in the middle of, says the Mishnah Berurah. V'hu takanas chachamim. The 2,000 amos. The minat Torah mutar lahalech ad yud beis mil kishir machne Yisrael b'midbar shechziga yud beis mil ubiyozim izeh aser v'harbe poskim chokim v'omrim degam chutz liyud beis mil eno aser minat Torah. The Ramban v'hai al yetsay eno ella azhara le'inyan hotzas kelim mirishus lirishus. So machlokas we've shown him. Maybe Rashi is taking a stand on that issue, holding like the Ramban that all tchumen is dirabana. Okay. Weiter. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Hasocher, Amas Hamayim me Erev Yontif. If somebody closes up a water source on Erev Yontif, I close it up so I know that if there's any fish that I find in here tomorrow, it did not come beforehand. It was trapped from only on before Yontif. So Hasocher, if I close it up, Ula Machar Hishkim, Umatza Badogim, and the next day I found fish in here, Mutarin. It's Mutar, because obviously it was from today. Amar Rav Chizda, I'm sorry, obviously it was caught from yesterday. Amar Rav Chizda, midivir Rabbeinu Nilmod, from this statement of Rav, it's obvious the following as well. Chaya shekinana bapardes. Echaya, an animal that made its home in an orchard and gave birth in that orchard. Eina tzricha zimun. It, the baby does not require any specific designation. Because once the mother is in this area, so it's already mizuman va'omed. It's already designated, and the baby can't walk too far. The baby is already considered trapped. So therefore, you don't need any extra zimun in this case, just like in the fish case that Rav mentioned. So Amar Rav Nachman, Nafal Chavrin b'Rav Rav Asa. Rav Nachman says, our friend, meaning Rav Chizda, just fell into a machlokas, meaning he's about to say, how could you compare the source case and the application case? There's a big difference between closing up the fish and an animal going into an orchard by itself. Before we say that explicitly what the difference is, we just have a different version of the story. First, Ika da Amre, Amar Abba Barafuna, Midibe Rabbeinu Nilmod, Chaya Shekidna Bapardis, Enes Vichazimun, right, it was Rabba Barafuna that said it based on Rav. And Amar Rav Nachman again, Nafal Bar Chavrin Bar Ravasa, the son of our friend, meaning our friend is Ravuna. So Rabba Barafuna said this, and Oyveh, he said something that falls into a machlokas, because all these three rabbis were Talmidim of Rashi says, Rav Huna Chavre Have, mi Talmidav Shel Rav, v'Rabba Brei Kari Bar Chavrin. Right, Rav Huna and Rav Chizda and Rav Nachman were all Talmidim of Rav. So the Gemara says, now, what's the issue? What was he so upset about? Hasam lo kavin maisa. By the case of the animal coming to have a baby, you didn't do anything. It's by itself. Hacha kavin maisa, and here he did a maisa, and therefore that's why you don't need zimun here, but you might need zimun there. It's still called muksa. So the Gemara says, v'lo baya zimun. What, you don't need zimun in general? V'lo baya zimun. V'atanya. So not only, this is a continuation basically, not only is there a distinction, the distinction holds up, meaning you don't need zimun, you're gonna need zimun. V'atanya, chayish kinna b'paradis tricha l'zamein. You have to actively do something to show that you are designating it. V'tzipar drawer, and the free bird, like we spoke about yesterday, tzorech l'ksher bechnafev, do something on his wings, tie his wings, kadesha lo teschalev b'ima, so that it doesn't get confused with the mother bird. You have to know which one you designated. V'zu edesh he'idu mipi shmayev avtalyon. And this is going way back to shmayev avtalyon, the origins of machlokas. So tiyufta, so fine, we knock that out. And therefore, it does require zimun. So now we ask the other way. Really? Will me buy a zimun? Does it really require zimun? Vatanya. The Tosefta says, Amar Reb Shimon Elazar, Mode b'shamu b'shilel, al shehiz minon b'sochakan. Remember these cases back in the first parak. Umatz lefneakan. If I designated birds in the chicken coop, but inside, and then when I came the next morning on Yontif, I found them in front of the chicken coop. Sha'asurin, they're asur, because I have to assume that my chicks. My birds flew away, and these are new ones. Ba'medvar mamur, and this only applies. Biyone shovach, biyone aliyah, v'tziparim shekinenu, b'tzvichenu b'bira, only applies to certain types of doves and birds that nested in jars, in houses. That's when you need zimun. Aval avazim v'tarnagolim biyone hardesios, but these other types of chickens and special types of Herodian doves, v'chayesh shekinah b'pardes, mutar means tzvichah zimun. But the stira, there you see the animals in the orchards do not need zimun. The tipar drawer sirich lakasha bechnafel. That's fine. Kadeshal deschay beima. The hamish kusharim the haminu na'in, and those that are already tied up and moving around, biboros ubebatim ubeshichnu b'maros, in the pits and the caves and the houses, mutarin, they're mutar, because those were obviously already designated, if they're already tied up. Ubeilanos asurin, but in all these cases, if the birds are on top of a tree, you're not allowed to use them, shemiyala v'yelosh gzera about climbing trees, and you might come to break off a branch. Last line of the brisa of the Tosefta, v'hamu kushar v'hamu nunayim b'chol makom, but keep in mind, if they're tied up in any area other than your own private area, asurin mishum gezel. Then it obviously somebody did this and designated it for themselves already, so it would be stealing to take it. Question mark. Either way, we have a steerer here. Right, this last brisa said that chayos that are make their nest and have a baby in the orchard does not need zimun. So Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman, who was the one that asked the question beforehand, who said, "Oyvei, our friend now has a problem." Lokasha haba habiima. The difference is between the mother or the offspring. That's the difference. Ima, so the mother does not require zimun, and the baby does not require zimun, because the baby cannot move around, and you have das for the baby, while the mother you don't have das for. Let's first continue, and then we'll talk about Rashi and Tosfos. Ima, bezimun sagilo, one second, ima with zimun, it's enough, tedem al yisabayi, the baby can't move. So fine, the baby is considered designated and caught and trapped, but the mother, don't you have to trap? Elamer of Nachman by Yitzchak, idvi idi bidida. Fine. It's both talking about the mother. Habagina smucha le'ir, habagina she'ina smucha. The difference is whether it's a garden that is samach to the ear, which you know about and you have das on. It's an issue of das, issue of muksa. That's the difference within the issue of the mother. Good. Go back for a moment to the last line of the Brisa, where it says if something is tied up already, then it's asur mishum gezel. It's asur mishum gezel. Rashi said, the last couple of skinny lines, why? Shaharishon shaksharon o ni anaan. The first one, whoever had been here, who tied it up and moved them, knaan bahag bahasam. Obviously was coned to them through picking them up. Shehefker nikne behagbah. Because hefker is nicknamed by picking it up. Something that is ownerless. The other person didn't ianua, right? Not just tied up, but picked it up and put it down. That's good enough to pick up hefker. That's Rashi. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't like this because he says, what kind of hagbah? Hagbah? Is hagbah kone for hefker? He says, to lo shaykan hagbah. And did he do hagbah here, shaking them around? Is that called the hagbah? What's the problem? I heard him explain hagbah requires a certain height. Say, 3 tvachim or a tefach, different heights. Nianua does not require any height. So did he do hagbah here? And that's what's kone for the first one? So Tosfos says, no, it's even less than that. Tosfos quotes the Gemara elsewhere, Bava Basra, first off in Bava Metzia, habata kone behefker. Tosfos says, even looking at it is kone behefker. Hol umisase kubahen ksas. Tosfos has a Chiddush Gadol here based on the Gemara elsewhere, where Tosfos says usually there is different types of kinyanim that you have to make. Right? You have to pull it, you have to push it, you have to get a shtar, you have to pay for it, all different, you have to chazaka, different types of kinyanim. Tosfos says when it comes to hefker, in certain cases the standards are lower, because a kinyan has to remove it. Usually a kinyan has two things. It removes it from your rishus, it puts it into my rishus. By hefker, all it needs to do is stage 2. It only has to bring it into my rishus. It's in nobody's rishus. It's on the street. So Tosfos says even habata would be good enough. Nianu is not called hagbar Rashi. This is according to the opinion that even habata is kone behefker. So that is machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. That's what the Akronim point out. The Imri Moshe writes at least in one place in Simon Lam and Zion. He says vaday afi habata konya nadafka behefker avoliknos davar mechavero vaday delekaman de omar de kani umishum de lahotzi chifetz meirushus acher beinyon kinyan chashuv yoser miliknos davar hefker. To be kone something that's hefker is easier, and therefore even habata would work. If you think about it, you could say just the opposite svara as well. And we find the opposite svara, and it's ironic, but it's the challenging sugya of hefker. We know if a child, let's say a 10-year-old, picks up an item from the street Hefker. Is he kone it? No. Maybe Durabanan. But on a Daraisa level, he's not kone it. Even according to some Rishonim who say sometimes a katan could acquire it, that's only if Das Acheres Makne. Bali Tosva say, if I sell it, if I give it to a katan, then it's my power putting it into the katan's rishus that makes it easier for the katan to get it. Because somebody is putting it into his rishus. If a katan just picks something up from the street, it's not kota d'oraisa. What do you see from there? It's harder to get something from Hefker. Not easier. So Hefker is a unique halachic construct where sometimes it's easier and sometimes it's harder. Sometimes it's better to have somebody own it. Sometimes it's easier. Right? It might be easier in that we've spoken in the past that all kinyanim, the root of all kinyanim, are what we call haraz bailus. Some type of reflection of ownership. So if I pick it up, if I pay for it, if I carry it, if I pull it, if I whistle and the animal comes to me, right? Any of these are reflections of ownership. So when you have something that is not owned, it's hefker. So, do I need more or less? On the one hand, well, nobody else owns it now, so if I do anything, that's fine. On the other hand, you might say no. If it's ownerless, then I have to do really something strong to show my ownership. If I do so, if somebody else owns it, even something little that I do could already show that he's removed himself and given it to me. But that is the unique, fascinating topic of Kinyan Mina Hefker. The context here of Habata Behefker Kona obviously reflects the fact that it's easier to get something from Hefker, while the Das Acheres Maknas Sugya shows that it's harder to get something from Hefker. Okay, next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hilchos Yantif. Behema Mesukenes. There is an animal. I have an animal on Yantif. It's about to die. It's about to die. And if it dies, it's an Avela, and then I cannot eat it. So what do I want to do? I want to shecht it quickly, so it can be a Shachut instead of an Avela. Even though I'm not so interested in eating so much now. There's a half an hour left to Yantif. But it might die right now. So what am I allowed to do? Lo yishchot ela imkein yeshos bayom lechol mimena kizai yisli. I'm only allowed to shecht it if I have time to shecht it and then take a little piece of the meat and roast that meat and eat it on Yantif. That is the Tanakama. The Achronim here, the Gilyoni Ashas, wonders why is there a shear of kizayis? What, the kizayis is an isser achila for a maisa achila is kizayis. You need a maisa achila for the heter v'ochol nefesh? You need general hana. Hana can be any amount. Why should you need kizayis? Lisa b'sarachian. Why should you have a limit, a minimum of kizayis if it's a din of hana of heter v'ochol nefesh? It should be any amount of hana. Okay, problem. So only if you have enough time to roast it. Rabbi Akiva Omer. No, afilu kizayis chai mi beis tvichasa. Rabbi Akiva's Mako, he says 2 points. Number one, even if it's enough time to eat a raw piece of meat, it's not too healthy, but a raw piece of meat from the neck. Mi beis tvichasa. You don't even have to finish skinning the animal. Meaning, shecht, pull the skin and take a piece of meat. So Rabbi Akiva's Mako, as long as you have enough time to do that, that is also, would allow you to shecht the animal. Shachta basadeh, if you shechted an animal in the field 2 days here in the Rashba, is this also still going on only on misukenes, or is this going about any animal? Right, if you shecht an animal in the field, lo yiviena bimot ubimota. You cannot bring that animal in from the field with sticks, meaning making a big public fanfare. Imagine somebody coming from the field, bringing this big animal, held by a couple of people by sticks. That's uvdin dechol. That looks like a weekday activity. It's bizayon of yantif. So you can't do that. Aval maybe biyado evarm evarm. But you can bring it limb by limb. Limb by limb would be okay, but not with a big fanfare with a lot of people. And again, the discussion is this only by misukenis or even by a bria? This is, the Rashi also notes here, the fact that the Gemara says you bring an aver means you're going to have to schlep more times, even though you're going to have less each time. So this Mishnah is saying that marbe bihilucha is less of a zilzul than marbe bimasui. You might say one time coming in, big schlep with a big load, that's better, meaning that's lesser of a bizayin than going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with a light load. The Mishnah says otherwise. The Mishnah says, no, mar bebi hiluch is adif. Even more times in and out of the field is more kavod yantif,
because you are carrying less of a load. So that's an important ha'ara. You have to work that out with other sugyas, which we'll get to, Be'ez Hashem, later in the Masechta. Amar Rami Bar Abba, Hefshev Nituach Ba'ola Ba'odin L'Katzavim. Rami Bar Abba says, you're allowed, when you have a carbon ola on Yantif, you're allowed to skin it and cut it up. On Yantif, the Pasuk says it, because it's Achilas Gavoa. Before you bring a carbon ola, you take the skin off, which goes to the Kohanim, and you cut it up and burn it. V'odim l'katzavim. And remember, Abba says, the same thing applies to butchers on Yantif. Butchers on Yantif also could skin it and cut it up. Are you allowed to salt? Are you allowed to salt that? The hide, that was what we had, remember, in the first parak. Are you allowed to put it on the floor? Is it going to get trampled? You're going to salt it a little bit? Harama. That was the first case. Mikan lim de Torah derecheretz. Shalo yochal adam basar kodem heshev nituach. The fact that this is allowed and it's done right away, it's to teach me that it is, it is usher to eat meat al derech eretz usher before heshev nituach. So Gemara says, my kamash v'lan. What's the chiddush? What's the chiddush that you have to wait to skin it before eating? Ilei malaf fuke mid Rav Huna. Is it going against Rav Huna? Tom Rav Huna has a yesod gadol. Chulun daf test. That's where the main action of Rav Huna is. Here it is. We hold like Rav Huna. Behema b'chaya b'chazkas Yisrael medes. An animal is usher until proven mutter. Right? An animal while it's alive is usher. It's usher to eat a live animal. Achi vada l'chakam b'med nishchita. It's usher until you know that a shchita was done. Once you know a shchita was done, so now it's the other way. Mutter until proven usher. Once you know a shechita was done, let's say you find a problem after the animal was shechted. But it's a problem that very well could have occurred after the shechita. If it's a problem that obviously has been for the animal's whole life, it's clear, has a hole in, its lung, whatever, so then it's obviously usher. But if it's a problem that could have occurred afterwards, then it's still mutter. Nishchita b'cheskas hetero, medes shivata l'cha b'menet trifa. That's Rav Huna's statement. So, is Rami Bar Abba going against that statement? Because Rami Bar Abba says that, no, you have to skin it first and check. Is that why he says to skin it first? Because he says you have to check it before you eat it. And Rav Huna says, no, you don't have to check it. Right? Becheskas Heter. Right? Once you shecht it. Is he going against that? Right? Let's stop there for a minute. In Rav Huna's statement, he said an animal while it's alive is becheskas iser unless you know otherwise. What is the iser of a live animal? What's the iser? Until you know otherwise. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos here, Machlokas Rashi Tosfos in Chulin. Rashi says, the iser of Eiver Menachai. Well, the animal's alive. There's an iser, one of the Sheva Mitzvos Beinoach, of Eiver Menachai. Tosfos doesn't like that. Why? Because there's Tosfos. The second that the animal's dead, that iser doesn't apply anymore. And Rav Huna says the animal is still usher until you know that a good shechita was done. So you can't say it's Eiver Menachai. Tosfos says it's an iser of Eina Zavucha. An iser of unshechted. There's a mitzvah asay of shechita. So it's an iser asay, basically, Tosfos says. There's an iser of Eina Zavucha. Tosfos says that right here. Cheska iser aslomer, but cheska shalonishchata mishim she iser she Eina Zavucha. Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. So what is Rashi answer to that question? Right? If the animal's dead, there's no iser of Eiver Menachai either. So says the Rashba, not here, but in Chulin Daf Tes, you know what Rashi must hold? This is a Shas topic. Rashi holds the concept of machzikin iser le'iser. If you know there's a state of iser, and then you know that there's another state of iser, even if it's a different iser, you're allowed to connect those two states to continue the cheskas iser. That's the concept of machzikin me'iser le'iser, or ein machzikin me'iser le'iser. That gufa must be the machlokas. Rashi Tosfos here, says the Rashba in Chulin Daf Tes. Rashi holds, you're right, it switches from the iser of Eiver Menachai to the iser of Eina Zavucha. You're right. But you're allowed to do that. Because machzikin me'iser le'iser, and Tosfos doesn't hold that way. So therefore you can't say, Rav Huna Svara, unless you say that even earlier the iser is one of Eina Zvucha. Very important discussion. If you want to look at, if you're interested in this topic, there are Sameach on this line, where the Rambam quotes Rav Huna. In Hilchos Shechita, in the first parak, he has a long arichos. Right? That's an arichos. On three pages on this discussion of Rav Huna. Okay. Viter. Three lines from the bottom. V'ha'anan, t'zan b'masnisan, kid Rav Huna. But 1 minute. So you want to say that Rav Bar Abba argues with Rav Huna, but our Mishnah supports Rav Huna. So how can he argue with that? Our Mishnah says, like Rav Huna, ditznan, Rabbi Akiva Omer, afilu kezayis chai mi beis tvichasa. My la bi beis tvichasa mamish. What did Rabbi Akiva say? You can eat a piece of meat from the neck. What does that show? Before you skin the animal.
you're allowed to eat it. So you see you can rely on Rav Huna and assume that the animal's kosher. You don't have to check to see if there are any problems. So the Gemara says, lo, no, we're misunderstanding. Rami Bar Abba would say that the Mishnah means mimakom shetovachas achilasa. It doesn't mean from the neck, it means from the place where the animal digests its food. Meaning much lower down, meaning you have to skin the animal before you eat it. Ay, vahatani Rabbi Chiya, makom tvichasa mamish. Does in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Chiya's version of his, in the Brisa, he says actual neck. So Ella, it must be Rami Bar Abba is not telling me against Rav Huna. He agrees to Rav Huna. He's just giving you Derech Eretz. Ella Rami Bar Abba, Orech Ara Kamash Malan. He's not telling you Isser against Rav Huna, but he's giving you Derech Eretz. Kedetanya, Lo Yochal Adam Shumu Batzel Meirosho, just like he says here. Right? A person shouldn't eat onions. May rosho from the top, ella may olive, just from the bottom, where you take all the leaves off. Vim achal is a raftan. May should be calm. Should peel something and then eat it. Don't peel it half and like, oh, I'm gonna, right? That's a gargoyle. It's a glutton. Relax. Have derech eretz. And that's all that Rami Bar Abba means here as well. Kiyotze bo, similarly, lo yishta adam kosu basachas. A person shouldn't gulp down a whole cup of wine in one shot. V'imshasar is a gargaron, and if he does, he is a gargaron, he is a glutton. Tanur Abanan, we also have the following. Hashosa kosabas achasar is a gargaron. Shnayim derech eretz, if you drink it in two swishes, so then that's fine, that's good. Shlosha migasei ruach, if I drink it very slowly, as if I'm holding myself to be royalty, very slowly, so that is also not good. That is migasei haruach. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch discusses this also in Simin Kuf Ayin. In Hilchis Seuda, the Shulchan Aruch says, he quotes, that a person should not drink wine like this. Lo yishte kosem basacha, says the Shulchan Aruch. Kuf ayin ches. Vim shasar is a gargaron. Shnayim derech er shlozer is a begasei ruach. Kosar gemar. Rama. Mihu. People are saying, oh my goodness, but I drink a shot and I drink wine. Kos katan ma'od. Mutu l'shosem basachas. The Rama says, if it's a small cup that it's normal to drink in one gulp, then it's fine. Right? It's only if it's a big cup and you drink it in one gulp and people look at you like, what are you doing? That's not derech eretz. But if it's a small cup, it is okay. The Mishnah Berurah says, if you left over even just a little bit, that's okay also. That's okay also. The Tosefta Shabbos says, but on Shabbos or Koshal Bracha, then you're allowed to drink it in one gulp. Because that's just Chavivus HaMitzvah, and therefore, it is not a problem. People look at you and you'll say, oh, L'shem Shemayim, L'shem Mitzvah. Okay, Vayter, what are similar ideas that we have here of going too fast? V'yama Rami Bar Abba. Next statement. Chatsuva. Chatsuva is for the word chatsav. Chatsav is a type of plant that the roots go straight down. Straight down. They don't go across. It was what, as Rashi quotes, that was the plant that was used by Yeshua ben Nun to separate the Shvatim's lands, because they wanted to make sure that every Shevet's land stayed in their proper Shevet. So Chatsuva mekatei ragleo de Rishia, the Chatsav plant literally cuts the legs of the Rishayim, meaning the Rishayim that try to steal, the Chatsav plant proves them wrong. Nitia, the halacha of little plants, meaning arla. This week's parsha. Nitia mikatea ragleon de katzvaya. Udebole nidos. Arla, what's arla all about? It's about waiting. It's about not jumping the gun. The first 3 years is off limits. We discussed this in Parsha Shir last night. Feel free to listen. It should be up. The Rambam, the Ramban, the Klayaka are different pshatim for arla. But the halachas of arla cut the legs of the butchers. Right, this is Rabbi Bar Abba, who eat before they finish skinning the animal, they jump the gun, udebole nidos, and those are a bol nidos, so don't wait also. Mamish bol nida. Right, the Achronim ask, isn't that, this a daraisa? Forget Rabbi Bar Abba, right, is this a daraisa? So maybe this means, if somebody who is with his wife, Bishas Vesta, I mean, it doesn't mean actual bol nidos. It means somebody who could have waited a little bit, and then it turns out that it was a problem. And the Tosfos, Tosis points out here on the Tosis is the Achronim, that even if you say, this is the Gilyon Marsha talks about this and others, even if you say the concept of Vestos Durabanan, still the concept of waiting and not jumping the gun might be behind that halacha, even if you say the whole concept of a vest of waiting, Bishas Vesta is Durabanan. But either way, that's what Arla teaches me. People who jump the gun, the butchers who jump the gun, and the Baalei Nidos who jump the gun as well. There is just one Ara wanted to mention from Rebbe Elchanan. Rebbe Elchanan right here, oh, it's based on Tosfos, there it is. Tosfos, the second, so Tosfos is basically saying that, the Gemara is saying, that Rebbe Abba's idea of skinning the animal before you check the animal is not a din. We all like Rav Huna. You could assume like the animal chef that it is kosher, unless you know otherwise. But if you, let's say you ate without skinning the animal, and then you find a problem that was probably there before the animal was shechted. Says Tosfos, that's not called ones. Even though this din is just mishum derech eretz, says Tosfos, top Tosfos, important line. Im nitzes trefa la'achar sha'achal hu ne'anash kishogeg v'lo ka'ones. Shalo hayelo l'maher kolkach. You're right, there's no obligation to wait. But there's no obligation regarding in Ilchas Isser v'Heter. There's an obligation l'inyan derech eretz, and that obligation would be good enough to tell me that if I find out later there is a problem, it's not ones that it occurred. It is a shogeg, and that's what Rabbi Elchanan here quotes. This is what I would say from the Shmaitza, from the Ksos. The afilu name of vessels derabanan mikomakom anus miha lo have. To lo shayach tainus my have le lemevid kivat derem midrabanan. I also lo shamish vachanami kivan the mishum midas derech eretz tzorach lahamted shuv ein tainus ones. That's an important explanation of Tosfos. Once the Rabbanan told you to do something, then even if you don't listen, you can't say, oh, I had no idea. It's not called an ones. It's not called a mazid. Not called a mazid, but it's somewhere in the middle. It's called a shogeg. Viter, termasa, the next statement from Bar Abba, termasa mikater raglei desonan shel Yisrael. The termas is a type of bean that you have to cook 7 times in order to get it soft. And finally, after the 7 times, then it's good. So that makes us, the Jewish people, look bad. Because even after Hashem punishes us 7 times in the Tochacha, we're still not soft. Right? It's even worse. Shneamar vayosifu bnei Yisrael lasos harabeni Hashem vayavdu es habaalim es hashtaros ves Elohei Haram ves Elohei Tzidon ves Elohei Moav ves Elohei bnei Amon ves Elohei Plishtim. We served all of these gods. Vayavzvu es Hashem below avduhu. Vimashva shneamar vayavzvu es Hashem eni yodeh shelo avduhu. If it says we didn't serve Hashem, obviously, right? If it says we left Hashem, obviously we didn't serve Him. Umatam alo revelo avduhu. Am Rebbe Elazar. Am Rakhanish Baruch Hu. Afilu ketermis hazeh. Even like this bean. Sheshokan oso sheva pa'amim va'ochlan oso. Bekiduach suda. That you cook 7 times and you finally eat it for dessert. Lo asuni bini. My children didn't even do that to me. Didn't even do that to me. Good. Period. Tanev ish made the Rebbe Meir. Mipnei ma nitna Torah li Yisrael. Mipnei shehein azin. Why was the Torah given to Bnei Yisrael? Because they are brazen. They are strong. They are azin. Is this a compliment or an insult? It's not 100% clear in the Gemara. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Rashi says, because they're strong, and the Torah kind of has to counter that. Rashi says, V'nitin lohem Torah she'ya'asku ba, v'hi mateshes kocham u'machna'as libam. We are Oz, and we need some type of neutrality, right? Or else maybe our Ozos would go somewhere else, right? Like it says, Ozos panim. So the Torah kind of neutralizes us. The Maariz Chaya says, no, different shot. Maariz Chaya says, because we kept with Hashem throughout all the tragedies, throughout all history with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we haven't left Him. We're Oz with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says, that's why. We're the only people that would have done such a thing. The Maariz Chaya. If you look at the Pnei Yeshua also, he says, Oz is a good thing. We're the only ones that even though we were forced to accept the Torah, Hashem knew we would accept it willingly afterwards. That shows our Azus. Right? So Rashi, the Maariz Chaya, and the Pnei Yeshua. I don't have time to go into the Pnei Yeshua more. Tani the Verbi Ishmael, Mimino, Eish Das Lamo, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ru'uyin Allah, Lushan Tinas Yalem, Eish Das. These people, it's Roy for Hashem to give the Torah, the law of fire. Ika da Amre, or Deateim Shal Elu Eish. The Da'as, the mannerisms of these people are like fire. She'il mali nit natar li Yisrael ein kal uma v'rlashan yuchol amo b'fneihem. These people are on fire. If the Torah wouldn't be given to Bnei Yisrael, we would be the most wild and strong nation physically. And the Torah puts us, maybe this is where Rashi gets it from, the Torah puts us in check. V'hainu d'amar Reish Lakish, gimel azin hein. That's what Reish Lakish says, there are three azins. Yisrael, be'umos, the Jewish people among the nations, kelev b'chayos, a dog amongst the animals, tarnagol b'ofos, and the chicken amongst the birds. V'yesh omrim, af a'ez b'behemadaka, also the goat amongst behemadakas. V'yesh omrim, af tzlaf b'ilanos. Also the tzlaf amongst the trees, that also is the Az. Rashi says, Lo yadati ma'u azus shalo. I don't know what the Azus is of the Tzlaf. The other ones maybe I could think about, but I don't know what the Azus is of the Tzlaf. So if you look in the Biurei Adaf here, he quotes from the from one of the Achronim. He quotes from the Ma'or Shebetorah. The Gemara says that the Mekoshesh was Tzlafchad. How does the Gemara know that the Mekoshesh was Tzlafchad? So the suggestion is given that the Gemara later on in Shabbos tells the story, you remember the story of someone who, there was a hole in his fence. And he was nervous that people might come in and take his fruit. But he says, you know, he stopped himself, I'm not going to close up my fence today, it's Shabbos, I'm not going to do it. And a nes happened because he overcame his Yetzirah, and a Tzlaf tree grew in that area. Why Dafka did the Tzlaf tree grow to close up his fence? Why? Because relating back to the Mekoshesh in the Torah, so this person was Masakin that Chet. And this person must have been the neshama of that person, and he came back to this world in order to be Masakin the Chet of Chilul Shabbos. Why Dafka Tzlaf? Maybe that story is alluding to me to who was the Mekoshesh. He was Tzlaf. Chad, right? Chazal say that Tzlafchad was the Mekoshes, and that's why the Tzlaf tree, Tzlafchad, has sharp branches. So this Tzlaf was so brazen to reveal who the Mekoshes was, even though the Torah itself wasn't ready to reveal who the Mekoshes was. That's why it's Az B'Ilanos. That shows it's Azus, because it was ready to tell over that story, even if the Torah didn't. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but the Shem, we will continue with the next part of the Mishnah, and Shachta B'Sadeh, by the Shem, on tomorrow's daf. Okay, Parsha Shir should be up, by the Shem, on the website.